What makes a fine man? What makes a fine man? That's a very good question that many of us have thought about. Very seldom we ask, very seldom we come to any conclusions about it. But what makes a fine man? Is a fine man a man who is a man of principle? A man who is a man of morals? A man who loves himself? Who loves his world? What makes a fine man? Is a fine man someone that you respect and you think highly of? Is a fine man a man who is trustworthy and who is always there when you need him? Or is a fine man a man who is purely at home with himself? He enjoys his time, he enjoys his personal self, he enjoys his world, he enjoys all the things he does, everything he does, no matter whether it's something menial or something grand, he enjoys all of it. Is that what a fine man is? Or is a fine man a man who is illumined, a man who is spiritually awake? A man who knows where he is going and what he's doing? Or is a fine man the archetypal man, which we don't see very often because we don't see our own archetypal self? What is a fine man? Well, the definition that we've been giving to a fine man is a man of honor, a man of trust, a man of dignity. And this is a perfectly reasonable human way to look at it. But that's not always true. That's not always true. We have a lot of people who are fine gentlemen in every way, but in their hearts, they're blackguards. They're very, as you will, evil men. Is a man who is loving to his mother and kind to his family and so forth, and a good person in the community, but who tells lies, is he a fine man? Is a fine man a person who is, a noble gentleman? He is a sir in the English Parliament, in the English court. He is a person who everyone looks up to and everyone reveres in an honorable way. But he is mean to his family and tries to hide them. I'm giving all of these possibilities because a fine man, in my interpretation of a fine man, is a man who is impeccable in his personal quality of respect and love for himself. He so loves himself. No, here comes the point. He so loves himself that he loves everyone just like he loves himself. As I told the Lund boy, Troy, I said, when you hit your sister on the head with the skates, you knew it was going to hurt. No, I didn't know it was going to hurt. I said, well, give me the skates, let me hit you. No. You see, we know. Fighters, wrestlers, professional men of the mat, they don't hurt each other. Boxers may punch in each other's noses and punch out each other's lights, but the wrestlers, and when they take these men and they spin them around, they throw them on the mat and then they jump on top of them, they don't jump on top of them. They jump down there in such an artistic way that here's a guy on there and he'd jump like this. They hardly touch him. But the guy would make a big grunt, and make it look like it's being done. Even those big muscular characters don't like to be hurt. And they don't like to hurt. Now, what is a person who likes to hurt? A person who likes to hurt, who likes to speak unkind words about other people. A person who likes to carry tales Is that an admirable person? What do you think? Even if the person were terrible and you were talking about it, what do I tell you here on campus? I tell you, do not tell me what anybody else has done that you find to be negative unless it is going to hurt them. If they're doing something that's going to hurt them, I want to know about it so we can take care of it. But if they have just not done their job, if they have not swept the sidewalk, if they have not made the bed, if they have not cooked the food, if they have not done the chores that they're supposed to do, I don't want to hear about that. Why? Because I'll find out about it in its perfect way. As it has happened so often in the past, when people violate the rules here, they come and tell me. I know about it, but they come and tell me. They come and tell me they violate the rules. Now, you say, well, what about Sylvia? Sylvia is the abbot. Now, shouldn't she know about all these things? The same thing is true with Sylvia. You don't tell her. Sylvia is not the Gestapo. She is not the, what's the GKB, KGB? She is not the Russian arm of the Gestapo. She's not the police. She's not enforcing anything here. Sylvia is merely telling you the things that can be and should be done, and that these are your tasks, and you go and do them. Now, if you don't like the way Sylvia tells you, good, because that's an area you want to change in you, that you're untouched by however you're told to do it. If you think Sylvia is not giving you enough work and you want her to give you more things to do, then you could just say to Sylvia, Sylvia, I have extra time. Is there anything else you'd like done? And she'll fall right off her chair. Mm-hmm. And she'll say, my God, how wonderful. Which is, of course, what you really should do. All of you should do whatever tasks you have to do before you're even asked to do them, and have them done, and come back to Sylvia and say, hey, love, what else you got to do? What other things? Who has ever done that? Have you met anyone who's ever done that? That's like in the army or the military. They say, never volunteer for anything. But I volunteered. And I volunteered, and I got the best deals you could ever want. Because I volunteered to be with the people I wanted to be with, not the people I was told to be with. You understand?
Uh-huh.
If I waited, I would have been told to be with people doing things that were not fantastic. But I went with the people, you say brown nosing, you know, and sort of like that, but I went with the people that I wanted to work with. And I talked to them. And I said, you have really a terrific area here. This is fascinating. Tell me about how does this work and how does this work? Hey, you want to be in our department here? Sure. Well, I'll have you transferred over. Yeah. And so I was transferred over. And I was in their department. And they knew I liked it. And the other guys who were there who didn't really like it, they let me do all the things. So I did all the learning and I had all the fun. They got the credit, but that's okay. I never needed credit. But it's fun when you volunteer. It's wonderful because you're in charge. You're in charge of what you're going to do and the things you do. But what is that here? What makes a fine man? What makes a fine man? Is he a volunteer who is manipulating the program, getting it the way he wants it? Is it a person who is really honorable in every possible way? Well, yes and no. What makes a really beautiful man is a man who likes himself 100%, if not 100% close to it. And he respects himself. He never thinks of looking at pornographic books in the airport bookstore because there's nobody there who's going to know him, you know? He never takes money that doesn't belong to him, no matter whether nobody else knows that he has taken it. He never speaks unkindly about another person because he doesn't know anything unkind about another person. He's always looking for something lovely to say about another person because that's his nature. So, what makes a fine man? Think about it. What makes a fine woman? What makes a fine child? What is a saint doing? The saint is working with his mother. His mother said, wash the windows, and he did. Now, he probably did a 13-year-old job on the washing of the windows, but he was helping, and that's great. The next time, he'll do better. The next time, even better. And as a partner with his mother, not a sexual partner, marriage partner, as a son partner with his mother, which is a very important relationship, he will have lots of opportunities because she's going to see his little note, and she'll see my answer. And, of course, he will show it to her because I told him how wonderful he is. And we're 13 and not having any more English than he's had, he does quite well. He thinks very well in English. Sure, his dad is an English-speaking person, but I don't think his dad's around too much, so he doesn't get too much contact with English. But what makes a fine person is a person who cares, who really cares about himself, and that everybody in his world is wonderful, is beautiful, loving, gentle, kind, courteous, all that good stuff. Now, does this go for women? Sure does. Does it go for children? Sure does. Does it go for dogs? Sure does. Mm-hmm. Anita and I were talking this afternoon a little bit about self-discipline and how self-discipline is really quite a chore to develop in yourself because you are so eager to do things in a certain way that you sometimes forget the other little things that go along with it. But when you're self-disciplined, then you don't forget those things. We were talking specifically about mowing the lawn, and she was mowing the lawn, and she wanted to get it done and wanted to have it nice for me and be done with it. But then she allowed herself to be distracted by me coming out and talking to her, and Ellen coming out and talking to her, and then having her come in and look at some shirts and stuff like that. And she probably got the job done, but she got it done after she was supposed to have had it done in her mind. In her mind, she wanted to... You see, when you're self-disciplined, you go like a horse with blinders on. You don't see to the right, to the left. You don't see anybody out there. You don't do something different than what your task is. You don't let yourself be diverted, because every diversion that you have is self-created. Because you didn't have to see that diversion. You didn't have to know about it. You could just go and do your own task and do it perfectly. Now, Anita tried to start the weed eater about a dozen times and wouldn't start. And then she looked in the tank and saw no gas and thought, hey, that's a logical reason. So immediately she ran over and got some gas, put it in there, and finished the chore. Now, what do we all do? We're all intelligent people. We're self-disciplined people. John, you're going on a date with a girl. You check the gas tank to make sure it's full so you don't run out of gas out in some country road where you have to sit with this girl and talk with her for hours. See, everything has its motivation. Before you start mowing the lawn, before you start using the weedy, you look in the tank to see how much gas is in there. You shake it and see whether it's going to be enough for your job. And you look in the mower and you see how much the gas there is. And if there's not enough, then you go up and you get the gas for both, and you're in business. And then you can be not distracted while you're doing your work. Because if you're saying, oh, I hope I got enough, at different times I'd drive in town and my tank would be empty. And I'd say, well, it'd be nice to be able to get to where I'm going before I have to fill it up. But I use the better part of judgment and I stop and fill it up. But if I would fill it each time I leave town, then it would always be full. But sometimes we don't. That's discipline. It takes self-discipline to do that. you're in a hurry, you want to get home, you want to get back and get out of that city life and get back into paradise, and so you just don't do it. But what makes a fine man? A man of perfect discipline, a man of self-discipline, a man of self-honor, a man who sees everyone in the world beautiful and good, and everyone naturally sees him that way. That's what makes a fine man, woman, child, or creating beauty.